Yeah, looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T.
Yeah.
Crew.
Whoa.
S-R-S-R-S-R-S-R-T. Yeah. They got that realness flowing in they DNA. Uh-huh. Damn you lame if you ain't tuned to SRT today. Boom. H-O got that payload when he say so. What you betting on?
Okay.
Don't get mad at me on fantasy. Break up Kyrie LeBron.
Oh, no.
I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll tie forever. Real talk, you know who he gon' pick.
See where I be with SRT. Behind the glass, that G-Money.
They went strong. I never lose. Six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Believe it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable live from the SRT studios overlooking Atlantic Station, and we are in the building. Sports Roundtable once again, 7 to 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, each and every Wednesday with the SRT crew. I am your humble host, H.O. from Bankhead, and you can follow me on Twitter, HM3 Inc., at HM3 Inc. My main man just got a new head coach, sports superhero Hancock is in the building with us.
What's good?
And now, before I move on, I got a text earlier. Well, it was a group text. The guy said, be running a little late and not go get there as normal as I usually get there. Then find out that he was leaving a parade in Alabama.
Well, what was the parade for? Was Christmas?
Four straight.
Four straight what? Christmas? You got an early Christmas present?
D-Will, the coach is in the building.
What's happening then? Hey, nah. You know we're going to change the college football playoff to the Bama Invitational. Just keep it real.
So, I got another story to tell you. So, after all of this drama that went on with who's going to get in, I get a text, then I get a phone call from a good friend of mine. We've been knowing each other since the kindergarten. It's a long time.
That's a long time.
And Sabrina White is always looking on, and before she got off the phone to ask me a couple of questions, she said, I cannot wait to hear D. Will go off on Wednesday. I will be tuned in. And she said, roll tide.
Roll tide.
I hung up the phone. I'm like, really? Go ahead, on.
Hey, that's a smart woman.
Anyway.
Roll tide.
And of course, my main man behind the glass, G-Money.
Yo.
G-Money doing his thing. Of course, he got them beats dropping tonight, of course. And we got a hot.
Got some special cooking, G.
Not in particular.
Oh, okay. As long as we don't get no Sweet Home Alabama.
I'll take that.
Oh, no. That is not allowed.
I sang it for you. Sweet Home Alabama. Roll, Tide, roll.
All right, my God.
There y'all go.
We got a hot show for you tonight, man. We got some hot news coming up here. And then we got our final SRT College Power 10. And the second hour of the show, we do have Bo Bell returning to studio, coming in talking about his academy, and we're going to talk a little NBA, a lot of NBA in the second hour, actually, and we got some other news and just some tease. We will be touching on are we just tired of LeVar Ball at this point?
No.
We're going to touch on some other news that was broke earlier today, and we'll talk about that. And Tiger Woods. Yeah, Mr. Tiger Woods did. We'll let somebody explain what he did this weekend. And Ballers and Busters. Ballers and Busters gonna be hot. So, as always, And there it is. And if you want to join the show, you can tell Take the Steer, call in with his Ballers and Busters. 404-603-8770. If you got a Ballers and Busters, please give us a call. 404-603-8770.
Call them Ballers and Busters in.
Or you can just post them on Facebook Live, however you want to do it. But follow us on social media and follow our YouTube page. SRT Sports Talk Radio is our YouTube page, and our social media is at SRT Radio. So make sure you do go and participate, and please go subscribe to the page, not just go and look at it. Just subscribe to it, and we will really, really appreciate that. And please go to our website, the one and only one-stop shop for sports. D-Money keeps it up to date on the hour by the hour, and you can go to srtradio.com. Actually, you should already be on there listening to the show. So with all that being said, it's time to jump into this hot news.
Blazing. Hot. Scorching.
On fire.
Red hot.
This is why I'm hot.
It's the Sports Roundtable hot news.
Sports Roundtable hot news sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. If you're looking for the best New Orleans seafood in town, please go on over to our friends at Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town. It is verified. Crab claws and shrimp po' boys and all those things, too. Before we move on, I want to give a shout out and a happy birthday to one of our loyal listeners, Doc Wilson, my godmother's oldest brother. He has turned a year older today, and after the show, I will be going to visit him because he is my main guy. That's my
stogie. Happy birthday, Uncle Doc.
That's HBD.
You already know. That's my stogie partner. You know what I'm saying? So we will be over there chopping it up after the show. All right, Han. First question. The NFL did something agreed to do something. And that is donate $89 million over 7 years to the teams. Now, it's a lot of hole punching that we can do with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to get your thoughts on what they are trying to do or what they have agreed to.
Right. You know, that's a term I used to use a lot back when we were back in the old days of podcasts. Called putting lipstick on a pig. And what that means is you're trying to make something look pretty that really just is what it is. It's a pig. It's not going to be any different. And throwing money at this situation to try to make things go a certain way, to try to make it look good, to try to get the protesters from still protesting, which they succeeded in some. Malcolm Jenkins being the lead guy who said he's not going to protest anymore. They threw $89 million at this situation, saying that it was for criminal justice reform and law enforcement and community awareness, something like that. But in the end, all it really did was throw money at a problem to try to make it go away, because I don't think this really gets to the crux of what this was about. Yeah, this was to protest social injustice and the things that go on in this country for the people that don't have a voice. That's what Kaepernick started out as, you know, for being.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he continues to say that it's about. Now, other people brought other things into it, like the military and police forces and all that kind of crap. And it blew out of proportion and made a big, ugly stain on the NFL, which they're now trying to clean up with money by trying to make the players at least stop doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to sit here and call people sellouts or whatever, because Malcolm Jenkins didn't get the money, but it did stop him from showing his protest. So, in essence, what they're doing is dividing and conquering, because they've fractured the unity that the players had by having some of them say this is not right and backing out of it. I think four of them that backed out were big names like Eric Reid, Russell Okung, Michael Thomas, and Kenny Stills.
Right.
All these people said, well, this throwing money at the situation is not what it's about. This is not what the protest was about. You just giving us money and then we go quietly. So they don't agree with it. So what they've done is gone with this Willie Lynch theory which is divide them up right. by making mm-hmm. some of them important. And
house and field.
That's it. And all they've done is fractured this whole thing, and they're making it go away.
Well, the thing, like, thinking about it like this, this amount was negotiated. How, like, we're, let's negotiate an amount that the players are good with that will donate to these causes.
Right.
Why do they have to do that? And, like I said, it's putting lipstick on a pig. Like, it doesn't.
It doesn't do it.
This doesn't do anything.
Anything.
The no. only, the only, when I first read it, the first thing I thought was, all the owners were asking, like, look, what's it going to take for you to stop kneeling? Exactly. $89 million, $100 million? What's it going to take? We need you to stop kneeling. That's what this is about. Now, please stop kneeling.
Allegedly, it's not new money. Allegedly, they are taking money from breast cancer awareness, some from the military, some from other organizations.
Things that they already had.
Things that they already had earmarked
right.
for other organizations to
appease
this. Yes. So you're not getting new money.
And you're not doing anything.
And I heard, allegedly, that they just basically, they was, Eric Reed, all the people that you said, you know, and Anquan Bolden, they pulled out and told Malcolm Jenkins to stop talking to the NFL, mm-hmm. and he basically
negotiated on his own. That's what I mean about dividing.
Yeah.
By making somebody important or seem important to make a decision that fractures the whole thing.
House and field.
That's it.
House and field.
That's it.
So, I mean, we just can't get it right.
We can get it right. They can't get it right.
They can't get it right. We can talk about some more of that. All right, second question, D-Will. LeVar Ball. I know we keep putting it in this. Well, they keep putting the microphones and cameras in his face.
It's not his fault.
No, it's not his fault. But we do have to address it. He pulls his sons from the team in UCLA. Your thoughts on him pulling his son from the team?
Now, I've been on record multiple times saying how I support LeVar Ball. I understand everything he's doing. I don't see an issue with everything he's doing. But on this particular issue, I can't co-sign. All right? His son is not an NBA prospect as of now. Okay? He can flat out shoot the ball. He's overweight. He's a little chubby. He's not very fast. He doesn't put it on the floor. I can go on and on and on about the things that is wrong with his game equating to the NBA game. But back to the question.
Is he Dennis Scott?
He could be. He could be. And that's a great comparison for him. All right.
Dennis got 6 inches on him, but go ahead.
Exactly. Probably so.
But he 6 inches? He's that small?
Nah. Well, nah, he's six five.
Yeah, he's 6'5". He has good size. Don't get me twisted. But back to the question at hand. I really don't understand what LeVar's purpose is. Okay? The boy got caught stealing in China. Not in America. In China. This caused a international fiasco, okay? And for him to say it's not that big of a deal, it's not what you think it is, my son should be playing. I really can't rock with him on that, because LeVar made the mistake of trying to say his son is something that he's actually not. And I really don't have an issue with that, but what I do have an issue is him pulling him out of school. The boy was going to be able to play in January. I'm pretty sure they were going to allow him to play in January. But he was saying that he thought it was too much or too harsh of a punishment. They've already paid their dues, so why do they have to continue to pay? But you were just caught stealing. So you should be paying more dues. But I don't agree with the move. Hopefully he can get it right. Hopefully his thought process behind why he pulled him. He said he's going to train him himself, get him ready for the NBA draft. Hopefully it works out for him. I don't see how it will, but I just really don't agree with the situation or the move.
I agree. It's too bad. And later on in the show, we'll dive deeper into it because we have somebody that we want to ask about that situation.
Definitely. I got some questions over
there. Question number three. gee, the Giants. Well, whatever their name are. Finally fired their coach and GM. Your thoughts on that and who possibly could be the next Giants coach? Heard Nick Saban name come up. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, right along. That name too. It was time for it to happen. It proved that it wasn't an organizational decision to bench Eli. That was a Ben McAdoo decision. And if Jerry Reese kind of allowed it, then he's got to go too. It was time for Jerry Reese to go, like maybe like 2-3 years ago.
Right.
But McAdoo was not the right fit for the job. It's very risky to hire the offensive coordinator just because of one good year. Yeah, let's make him the head coach now. That's a very risky thing to do.
Right.
As far as the candidates for the GM, I've heard Dave Gettleman, who used to be a GM for the Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he spent money, that means he's going to try to lowball Odell Beckham. So that's a risk. I've also heard Scott Pioli, who's right now the assistant GM for the Falcons. He used to be the GM for the Chiefs. And that would prove that teams are still trying to get that Patriots magic to rub off on them, because he used to work for Belichick.
Right.
And as far as the coach, I've heard Nick Saban. He has no reason to leave, really. Of course, John Gruden, because any open coaching job is going to be John Gruden. And I think he also has no reason to leave. Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator for the Patriots. His name is going to come up with every coaching job because he was started 6-0 with the Broncos and missed the playoffs. But then he also drafted Tim Tebow. Those are scars on him, okay? Teams, if you're listening, if Giants are listening, those are scars. So, but with there being in my team's division, I hope they do hire Josh McDaniels and just watch it blow up in their face.
All right, so Dez on Facebook said, we need to put both of them on the butter them bus.
Oh, buddy them.
Hey, that's old school buddy them bus. Appreciate that, Dad. All right, question number four, Hancock. Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woo.
Played this weekend. Finished.
T9. Top of the
night. Yep. Did pretty well as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on his play and what you expect moving forward from Tiger?
Well, let me ask you this, Horace. You were a basketball player. You were a shooter, right?
Right.
You've had some places where you shot better than others, right?
Exactly.
If you had a goal in your backyard, you knew where the lower parts of the yard were.
Right.
You knew where to shoot the ball from.
Exactly. And
so we had to temper this. This was Tiger's
own tournament.
It was set up for him. Don't get me wrong. But you still have to go out and play. So we have to temper what we saw. What there were some good aspects of. People that know golf say that he hit the ball straight, he hit the ball hard, you know, with good force. His club head speed is ranked up there pretty good right now. And he scored well around the greens. That was a good thing because last time we saw Tiger chunking shots around the green, shots that we didn't see happen.
Mm-hmm.
So as of now, you know, he was able to complete the four rounds with no pain. Walked the course. Everything looked good. Don't get me wrong. But we still have to temper our expectations because, like I said before, we still have a picture of Tiger as the immortal Tiger, that Tiger that people feared. Now, I don't know if that Tiger will ever come through the door again.
Right.
I'm sure he can turn back the clock every now and then and play well, and I hope he does because we need him. If anybody that loves golf needs him.
Right.
Because nobody watches unless he's playing. Well, nobody on this side of the track. just be real. So I would love to see it. I mean, you look at what he did in the first round, shot a 69. Second round, shot a 68. Blew up a little bit in the round three with a 75 and a 68 to finish out the round. Finished minus 8 and tied for 9th for the whole tournament. A lot of people, like I said, are excited about it. I'm still waiting. Because I want to see him do well.
Right.
But like I said, if you shoot in your backyard, people coming there to play, they got a problem because you know where to go to shoot the ball. The rim is bent on this side, so you know. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's the thing about it.
And to your point, I like the short nets. I don't like
you
long
like
nets.
Long nets.
I like the short nets.
So that's what I'm saying.
It's like the goal bigger when you got the shorter nets.
So that's all I'm saying. Things were set up perfect for him, and he came through. That was a good thing.
Right.
But let's see how the year turns out. Let's see if he stays healthy. You know, that back, they say the back is fine. Mm-hmm. They say the knee is fine. So let's see. And I hope so, like I said.
So are you giving him one more tournament, two more, or what? How do you kind of judge in this?
The thing I watch with Tiger is it's not about all the birdies. It's not about the shots that go down the middle and all that. It's about the par saves, okay. Meaning stop the bogey. Like, he blew up in round three mm-hmm. and had the bogeys. See, the thing about Tiger was he's going to make birdies.
Right.
He's going to make five, six around or whatever. But it comes down to him being that mentally tough, making that 6 to 10 footer, that 12-foot putt to save par, to not drop a shot. That's right. What he was so good at before was that he wouldn't drop those shots.
Right, right.
He would get ahead and wouldn't come back to the pack. But we've seen now him miss those shots like he wasn't that mentally tough Tiger that we saw before. That's what I'm looking for. Looking for the par saves. If he's making par saves, like early in that first round, he made a par save from about 15 to 18 feet, and he did the old Tiger fist pump.
Right.
So that lets me know it could be clicking.
Okay.
But it's about the par saves.
All right, question number five, the last question for the hot news. D. Will, your main man, got a ring last year, and now he leads the league in technical fouls and ejections. Is he trying to be a tough guy now? KD.
I don't know if y'all recall, but back in 2010, when OKC went up against Miami, Kevin Durant made the comment that Chris Bosh was a fake tough guy. I think that mantra can go to KD now. For anybody, I understand what his reasoning was after the game, saying nobody wants to fight in the NBA. Nobody's going to throw punches. Blase, blah. I understand that, okay? But here's the issue I have with it. Why was you acting so tough then? And don't you know sometimes you can be mad at somebody, but you know you really don't want it with them? He was mad, but he really don't want it with Boogie. Like, Boogie's one of them people, I don't care if you want to fight, he gonna make you. Okay, let me, Ben Wallace on Metta World Peace, or Ron Artest. That night at the Palace, Ben was way madder than Ron. Everybody don't want it with Ron, but he ain't want it with Ben. You understand where I'm coming from?
He sure did not.
KD was acting like he was mad, but he ain't really want it with Boogie. Because Boogie was like, what? And walked off, and then he said something. He turned around. Hold me back. Hold me back. Hold me back.
You know it.
And so my thing is, Kevin Durant is not a tough guy, okay? He's real thin. He's 145 pounds soaking wet. He long. He might get one or two in, but that chin might be glass. All right? So I'm not going to call him a fake tough guy, but he's a tough guy that's fake.
Right. But what would he do? We'd have had a Lonzo Ball situation if he wouldn't have said that, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If he doesn't act like he want to fight, then everybody go try him. Right?
See, and that's the issue I have with the NBA.
Right.
What he said is absolutely right.
Nobody's going to fight.
Right.
You won't give up that check. Ever since the malice in the palace,
it's not happening.
Not happening.
Okay, but for him to go through the whole theatrics of it, come on,
gotta put on the show, D.
Man, come on, man.
Yeah, put on the show.
Boogie from Birmingham. You don't play with them boys,
Boogie,
man.
Boogie ain't gonna swing and get rid of that $100 million either.
Oh, no, Boogie will hit you. Boogie don't care about that.
So they'd rather take the ejection fine rather than the.
Well, I'm saying if he swings, he'll get what, 15 games? That's about it.
If he causes a crazy situation like what happened out there, and all everybody's
look at it. Look on that. Look crazy. Who's on that floor. And who, ain't nobody going crazy.
Who's,
on them
and who's gonna like hold said, Boogie back?
Nobody's gonna fight. If that's my point.
Who's
if Boogie wanted
back?
To fight,
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. He didn't want to fight.
Yeah, boy.
Now, if they would have, it probably would have got physical. Maybe so, but I don't. Nobody's gonna do it.
KD ain't want them problems.
Yeah. All right, man. That'll do it for hot news, man. Sponsored by the Big Easy Grill. Please go to the Big Easy Grill, 1193 Collier Road, Atlanta, Georgia. The best shrimp in town. I got folks in here that can verify that name. All right, now it's time to get into our final, final, final SRT Power 10.
All college football polls matter? Not at the Sports Roundtable. It's time for the SRT Power 10.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to the final edition of the SRT Power 10. This week's Power 10 consists of the Penn State Nittany Lions coming in at number 10. At number 9, we had the UCF Knights. I think I was the only one that didn't vote for them. And number 8,
but
we had the Wisconsin.
For him last week.
At number 8, we had the Wisconsin Badgers. I still didn't vote for them. I don't think they deserve to be in the top 10. Anyway, at number 7, the USC Trojans. At number 6, the Auburn Tigers. At number 5, the Ohio State Buckeyes. And our Power 10 Big Four consists of the Alabama Crimson Tide, who were able to get in without playing. They were able to get past the Ohio State Buckeyes, which I totally agree with. They came in at number 4, and they had 37 points. At number 3, the Georgia Bulldogs with 37 points. It was an actual tie between them, but in our poll, UGA had more of the, let's see, higher votes, something like that.
Even if Jay Smooth didn't vote for him.
Exactly. Yeah, they can't. Jay Smooth had them down at number 6, but that is what it is. I don't know how he had a number.
Shout out to Jay Smooth. Shout out to Jay Smooth, man.
Jay Smooth said he didn't deserve to be in the Big Four. So.
Hey, this is his vote.
That's his vote. At number 2, the Clemson Tigers. They had 46 points. And at number 1, the Oklahoma Sooners had 49 points. Did not quite get a perfect score. They were left off first place by the aforementioned Jay Smooth.
Boy, that's a tough voter.
Yes, sir. But anyway, that rounds out our final edition of the SRT Power 10 poll. We'll look forward to the semifinal games. Bama will go on to play Oklahoma in the Sugar Bowl. And UGA and Clemson will play in the Rose Bowl, correct?
Correct.
Big games. Vegas has Bama favored over all these teams, even though they were the last team to get into the Power Four. They say right now, on a neutral field, Bama is favored over all of these teams.
Duh.
So, we'll look and see what happens. I do want to see the matchup between UGA and Oklahoma, because the only way I think Georgia has a chance is to use their offense to keep Oklahoma's offense off the field. So, we'll see that. And then again, I want to see what Bama does. I think getting those linebackers back, Nick said he'll get, I think, all but one back for the bowl game. Is that right, D?
That's correct.
So that will be a good thing for him to get healthy. Then we'll see really what Bama's defense is about. Not this, well, they didn't play well against Mississippi State. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, that's the end of the Power 10 for this year. We'll do it again next year.
There it is. Hey, so this is one thing before we go to break. The people were trying to defend Ohio State and say Bama didn't have a good schedule.
Right.
Listen, shout out to BC, RIP BC. She's always told me this, and Bo, I'm pretty sure you can relate to this. You got to keep things simple in life. All that mush in the middle and all this other kind of stuff, let's do away with all that. This, all they had to do, who would beat who if you go to Las Vegas and say, I'm going to match Bama up against these three teams or these four teams, who's going to be the favorite?
Right.
Okay, so they think that this is a better team. So what are we arguing about?
Here's what I got for you, Big H.O. The reason we're at this college football playoff is because everybody was sick of the BCS. They didn't want computers and formulas and algorithms to choose who the best teams in the nation were, correct?
Right.
So now that we have this committee of a college football playoff, all of a sudden now, we're having algorithms, formulas, strength of schedules, strength of records, head to, like all of that does not matter. So we just took away the BCS to turn it into a human BCS.
Yeah.
The reason we got the college football playoff, you turn on the tape, you look at the game,
exactly.
You watch the games, and you say, who is the better team? And obviously, Alabama dominated everybody they stepped on the field with. SEC teams, they beat Ole Miss 69-3. Nobody else did that this year.
The only thing that the problem I have with the whole thing is that there's no level playing field.
No, I agree.
The conferences aren't equal.
Yeah, I agree.
The divisions.
Out of conference schedule is not equal. And, you know, out of conference gets a lot of weight. But if you look at some of the division games within these conferences,
it's like an out of conference
game.
They're
playing those, Mercer. What they call them, directional schools.
Yeah.
Northwest Rice University. Nothing to them.
The big HO choices.
Yes. Just real quick, like, the head of the committee came out and said that basically it came down to wins and losses. Ohio State had two losses, Alabama had one.
It's that simple.
Like, I feel like the criteria is going to change next year.
It changed from the prior week because he said the difference between all the teams was razor thin. So if Ohio State beat Wisconsin and it was razor thin, shouldn't they have jumped up to the four? See, that's why I say it's whatever they say 1 week, don't even listen
to
them.
But if,
because
like,
it's
if,
a lot.
If part of it is the eye test, then, okay, let's look at Alabama's loss. They lost by 12 on the road, okay? And then with Ohio State, they lost by 18 at home, and then they lost by 31 on the road to a team that never scores 55 points.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, not get me
so
wrong.
Their losses were worse.
Don't get me wrong. I'm with you. I don't think Ohio State deserved it.
It was simple math, and their losses were worse.
Inconsistency.
And it's not even that. Even when Kirby Holcutt came out and said what Han just said, he said that from 5 through 8 was razor thin, correct?
Exactly.
And then he came out and said after the 4 was chosen to justify putting Alabama in, he said Alabama was unequivocally better than Ohio State.
So how can it be?
How can it be razor thin?
Especially when Alabama didn't play, so there was nothing for you to compare to say, okay, this week showed. Well, how did it show? If Ohio State beat a team that was undefeated,
yep,
and Alabama didn't play,
and then what
showed you that?
And then they say, and then they have the nerve to say that every week they step into the committee room, they step in with a blank sheet of paper.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so if they step in with a blank sheet of paper, why is your criterion every time you argue for a team, they beat 5 top 25 teams and 4 top 15 teams?
Man,
so your sleeve is not blank.
It's not blank.
I agree. All right, so basically what we're saying to all our listeners that maybe we need to be the committee to judge this.
We're more consistent than they are.
We had Bama all year.
Exactly. So it is what it is. We got to take a commercial break real quick. But when we get back, you already know we got them ballers and busters.
Ballers and busters coming.
Bus Round Table, SRTRadio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network. College football season is almost over. Championships are being won, and plans are being made for bowl games. The basketball season is heating up, and what goes best with weekend hoops? The best New Orleans seafood restaurant in Atlanta, of course. Come on down to Sports Roundtable Saturday at the Big Easy Grill on December 16th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. You can meet the crew of the best sports radio show in town, enjoy a panel discussion about the big sports stories, and enjoy some great food. If you ask Big H.O., of course, he'll recommend the shrimp. So come on down to Sports Roundtable Saturday, December 16th at the Big Easy Grill at 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. We hope to see you there.
What's up? This your man, D-Will the Coach, here on behalf of Real Talk Tees. Real Talk Tees is for the players, geniuses, and bosses. For those who hustle, for the fresh, and for the iconic. Real Talk Tees is urban, affordable, vintage t-shirts to help you express yourself. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com to order yours today. So how about this? You got a specific mood in mind? Custom orders are available also to help you and yours stand out. So visit realtalktees.bigcartel.com, where what's real lasts forever.
Sports.
Sports Roundtable.
My bus is a crash grabber.
No!
I got to give it to him. Not Trump.
I know.
I'm talking about Baker Mayfield this time. Not Donald.
Oh, my God. He said it's okay, though.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about Donnie Suge Knight. Because he run the government like death row. He running the United States like death row.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network. Other radio shows may have their players of the week, but at the Sports Roundtable, we have our ballers.
Ballin'.
And our busters.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
Sports Roundtable back. SRT crew is in the building. Time for them ballers and busters to jump off. Ballers and busters segment is sponsored by Real Talk Tees, and we got a shirt for every mood. Please go to realtalktee.bigcartel.com. D. Will say you got them sorority shirts.
Woo!
Popping.
Yes, sir. Go get you one.
Yeah.
Where it all started.
Yeah.
Where it all started. It's the all of them are where the original sorority and fraternity was founded.
There it is. So please go to realtalktee.bigcartel.com. All right. Ballers, a baller for this week for me. You know, this is more than a baller to me. This is a super story. But my baller this week goes to Shaquem Griffin. 6 tackles in the championship game, 2 sacks, and he is the AAC 2016 Defensive Player of the Year. And he's doing all of this with one hand.
Yes.
He does not have a left hand.
He can only go right.
He don't have a left hand.
Lonzo,
it's one of those.
Oh, he bald, though. Seriously.
Listen to what I'm telling you. I don't know if people understand what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
He recovered a fumble in a crowd, and he's the only one with one hand. Everybody else got 2 hands.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he's a baller, for real.
And he got a twin. And he got a twin brother. Yeah. So
they say he's gonna get a look. I hope so.
He should. Yeah.
I hope so.
Yeah. It'll be an awesome story. I'm gonna follow this kid, man. I'm pulling for him.
Yeah.
So that's my baller for this week.
My baller is Tiger Woods, man. Hey. I mean, for him to come back and play as well as he did, even though he played in his backyard, it was really in Dubai, but still, the course was set up for him. For him to play as well as he played, to look like, show some flashes of the old Tiger, kind of adds to the legend.
Right.
You know, and that's what we do with our heroes and our greatest players, is want that legend to grow larger and bigger, just like Mike did with the flu game when he I don't think he was sick, but it's all good. I mean,
the shoe sells.
Yeah, if it sells, sell it. So anyway, Tiger Woods, baby. Tiger Woods.
All right, G, was your baller?
It was food poisoning.
That's what it was. Yeah, food poisoning, you know, whatever. Staying out late at casinos the night before the game, whatever it takes.
All right, my baller of the week is the captain of the Bel Air Academy offense, also known as the Seattle Seahawks offense, Russell Wilson. 20 of 31 for 227 and 3 touchdowns, even though it might have really been like 21 of 32, because that was a forward pass in that fourth quarter. Also ran for 31 yards and led the Seahawks to a 24-10 win over the Eagles. I have him as the MVP right now. You know, the Eagles have a nice record and everything. Carson Wentz is playing well. Tom Brady is playing well. But to look at, I know it's we're on the East Coast and you don't watch a lot of West Coast football just because of time. But he's the MVP right now to me. He's doing everything. He's accounted for 29 of the Seahawks' 30 offensive touchdowns this year.
Yeah. I can't argue. Can't argue with you on that.
And every play is a jailbreak.
Yeah.
I mean, he's running for
him. We're not talking about a fire stick either.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, dude. Who's your baller?
My baller for this week is, and it's going to throw you for a loop, my baller is Gus Malzahn for turning a mediocre coaching job into $7 million a year. If you're able to do that, you are a baller. Gus Malzahn is the fourth highest paid coach in college football. How and why? I have no idea. But Gus Malzahn, you are a baller, sir.
You know why, D.
I don't care why.
You know why, though. What's the biggest game? It doesn't matter that they didn't win the national championship this year.
They beat Bama.
That's it.
He beat Nick.
In that state, that's the championship.
Oh, I know. He beat Nick, so he got $7 million.
Championship.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you like this, and to all the Auburn people, we in the ship, and state championships only matter in high school.
Not in your state, D. Come on.
They only matter in high school.
Not in your state.
State championships only matter in high school.
If y'all win the state, if y'all win the national championship, what are we going to say?
Oh, it don't matter.
What they going to say, though?
They can't say nothing.
What they going to say,
they
though?
They can't say nothing.
You know what they going to say, D.
Listen.
Me and you talking, D. Ain't nobody else listening, D. Me and you. What they going to say?
I can't because I'm a cuss.
All right, man. It's time to get to them busters. My buster this week, and I'm going to keep it real simple. I'm not finna go through all these theatrics about who did this and who did that. It's very, very simple to me. And I don't care anything about the name. I call it like it is. Dan Quinn is my buster this week.
Whoa.
This is why. I'm not going into the who dropped what and who didn't do this. And it. Listen, you in week 13 in the NFL. You've been to the Super Bowl and things of that nature. There is no way you could go into week 13 as unprepared as the Falcons were this past week. It's no way. Unpreparedness, and I got coaches sitting in here with me, unpreparedness comes from coaching, not players. You have to be prepared in this league each and every week. It's no way. Week 1, week 2, week 3, okay, you get a pass. Week 13, and you done had a bye week? You didn't even have the decency enough to pick up a cornerback throughout the week. You didn't have to play him, and you still was without Poole. It's unpreparedness. That's my bust of the week. You just cannot be this good of a team, and in week 13, you're this unprepared right. Because the execution of the lack of execution looked like eighth graders to me.
Mm. Okay. Well, my buster goes to the NFL. And all the commentators from the four-letter network and all throughout the land that I heard all this outrage over football hits. Mm. Up until 3 or 4 years ago, the hits that we saw were glorified. The hits that we saw Monday night were glorified. From jacked up, from everything we learned from small kids watching football, we've been trying to put big hits on people. And this thing here is all about money and the perception. Because now we see moms and everybody coming out against, you know, this physical nature of the NFL saying the numbers are down as far as participation in football from smaller kids now because people are holding them back.
We said that 4 years ago.
Yes,
it was going to happen.
Exactly. But the NFL is trying to save face. And all this histrionics about being appalled at the hitting, you know. I heard more drama and more stuff about those hits, which were between the whistle, than I heard about Gronk coming head first into somebody laying prone with his face down. And they didn't go all off about that like they went off of. I heard, oh, he's just Gronk and he's emotional. That's the biggest bunch of bull.
Let Burfict do that.
Yes, exactly. That was the word they always use, egregious.
Yes.
That was uncalled for. It was not football. At least these hits were football. The block that Juju Schuster made was a football block. Maybe, you know, they outlawed it now. The taunting was bad.
Yeah.
The hit is illegal now because you can't hit defenseless people. Mm-hmm. But at least it was a block. He was trying to free up his guy.
It was a football play.
The hit in the end zone on AB, I know he was trying to break up the ball. You can't do it anymore. Back in the day.
Perfect.
Back in the day, Jack Tatum did that every. Ronnie Lott launched themselves. Dick Butkus, one of the heroes of the NFL. One of the dirtiest players back, but you still loved it. But now, in this day and time, everything is that's a dirty hit or that's outlawed. Mm-hmm. So, NFL, you get my buster, because all I'm saying is these were hits between the whistles while the play was going on. And I didn't hear as much outrage about Gronk doing something after the play.
Right.
When the whistle was blown, then I heard about those hits.
I agree. All right, G, your buster.
My buster, well, I tried to narrow it down. I had three, and I really couldn't pick one. Gronk was one of them, but I'll move on from that. My other one was University of Tennessee football, because no one seems to want that job.
Yeah.
And
Pruitt just turned it down.
That's like 100 people now.
Something like that.
So my buster week goes to Kansas City Chiefs cornerback Marcus Peters.
Mm.
To where you're in this slide, basically, to where, you know, they're like 6-6 now.
Right.
And
after going 5-0.
I was starting 5-0. And he completely lost his composure and threw a penalty flag into the stands. Gets ejected. He didn't think he was ejected, so he came back to the sidelines later wearing like some slippers or something. Andy Reid has now suspended him for a game. Right. The NFL didn't do it. They might have just fined him for coming back, but the Chiefs decided to suspend him for the next game. Maybe Revis is going. They want to give Revis a better look and see what he's got left or something. Lord, which is, this is absolutely the wrong time.
Yeah.
So it's not just Peters. It's just the Chiefs. They have completely fallen apart. Maybe I should have picked New England that first week.
You put the kibosh on them yourself, though.
I put the hex on them.
When you called out the Chiefs when we asked you about the quarterback, you said nah.
He played well though,
but you said it. But you talked about him, and you who the kid? Then you put the hex on Philadelphia last week, mm-hmm. didn't he? Remember when I told you he was going to do it, yep. And Philly went right to Seattle and did what?
Lost. Got beat.
G put the hex on
G the anti
G, boy. I'm telling you,
putting them hands on him, G. All right, D, where was your bust?
Y'all know my baller was Gus Malzahn, so I'm going to stay on the same track. My buster is Auburn University for signing Gus Malzahn to a 7-year contract worth $7 million a year. That is the – listen, Gus Malzahn is 45-21 as Auburn's head coach, okay? If 45-21 gets you $7 million a year, I am in the wrong business because I need to start coaching college football so I can get me some coin. Auburn, what are you thinking? He is not let him go to Arkansas if that's where he wants to go.
How many wins he got against you?
One.
Two.
Yeah, he got two.
Okay. That's $7 million worth.
Hey, moving right along, man. I can't even talk no more.
When we talked about the perks a few weeks ago. They pay for his cars and all his gas, and anytime he goes to a Shell station, I don't know what he needs the money for.
Gus Malzahn,
what are you going to do with this money?
Makes $7 million. Nick Saban makes $8 million. So you're telling me Gus Malzahn is $1 million less valuable than Nick Saban, who's won 4 championships in the last 8 years and has made it to the college football playoffs every year, and Gus Malzahn has yet to sniff the college football playoff.
But he beat Nick twice.
Alright, let's get into some other news.
And I hope all y'all watching, Auburn fans that's just rolling in, keep your comments to yourself.
Alright, in other news, we got the Heisman finalists that will be presented this Saturday. Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, and Bryce Love. Hancock, is it unanimous?
Yeah, man, I don't even know. It's going to be a long, drawn-out commercial that Baker Mayfield will be accepting the bronze hardware at the end.
Right.
If you did it right and you talked about numbers, then we'd have a different story. We talk about Lamar Jackson
right.
possibly going as 2-time. But it's not going to happen. Baker Mayfield has all the momentum, all the people behind him. So he's going to win.
Yep. G, you agree with that?
Yeah, it's nice for them to invite Lamar Jackson. He did have a better year this mm-hmm. year than he did last year, but because the win-loss record has a much bigger impact on the voting. And you got to have somebody who's in the college football playoff. Like Mayfield's the only finalist who's in the playoff. And I think if they invited a fourth and fifth person, it would have been Saquon Barkley, who's not in it.
Right.
And it would have been Rashad Penny, right, who's not in it.
Yep.
So it's going to him, and it'll make the ratings, I guess, for the playoff games a little more appealing because we have the Heisman Trophy winner having something to play for.
Okay. All right, coaching carousel in college.
I'm glad you didn't ask me. Because I don't care. It's the most frivolous, dumbest award I've ever seen in my life. But go ahead. What were you saying?
The coaching carousel, where if you think Gus getting seven, well, Chad Myers went 7-5, and he's getting $4 million from Arkansas.
Well, you know where this money comes from.
Let me tell you like this. I'm going to give y'all something real quick. Okay. Since we're talking about
Gus Bus.
I don't nobody care.
Chad Myers used to coach for the SMU Mustangs.
And he was 9-36 as SMU coach, if I'm not mistaken.
It's $4 million.
$4 million. Let's say it like this. Gus Malzahn getting $7 million a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he was to cut his salary in half, just cut it in half and take $3.5 million, and take that other $3.5 million and spread it out amongst all scholarship football players, they will make over $43,000 a year. But they make nothing, and Gus gets seven.
Yeah, that's true. Herm Edwards announced as the Arizona State new head coach. Josh Heupel goes to Central Florida. Yeah. Willie Taggart.
Woo, woo, brother, brother.
I think we called that one before this even started, right?
Well, look at that face. Did you see that face?
We talked about that. I'm going to have to ask –
we got dogs.
Somebody
smile.
I mean, it's your team.
Yeah, it's my squad, but
I guess it's kind of peculiar. I mean, like, it was like, who else are we going to get?
Yeah.
It was kind of one of those.
Kevin Sumlin.
I take
Do y'all want anybody to coach the team?
I'm happy for the brother.
Okay.
All right. There you go.
there was no one else to get, and it was kind of. We got somebody who wants to be there.
At least he knows
this was
Florida.
His dream job.
He knows Florida at least because he coached himself. I can guarantee you
he go recruit.
Yeah, and the defense should be good. I like Levitt. I like him bringing him from Oregon. Levitt is a good defensive coach. He's one of those that
he coached himself. Florida.
And your offensive coordinator should be coming with him too, right? What's his name?
He must not be that good. I don't know.
I think he's bringing
from Oregon.
Yeah. I forget his name, but
and probably the appeal also is that he'll be from he's technically from the Harbaugh coaching tree.
Uh-oh.
So gotta get ready for that now.
Yeah.
All right, James Willis on Facebook Live says, do we think Nick Chubb should have been in the running for the Heisman?
No.
Not this year.
Nah.
Nah. Yeah.
Marcus Arroyo.
Yeah.
Is an offensive coordinator that's going to Man, I know we on radio, but if y'all can look at these faces, Hancock is making, man.
I know, right?
It's worth $1 million.
All right, so let's talk about the new information with LeVar Ball and Jason Whitlock reported earlier today that LiAngelo went on TV and said that he stole after the other two guys started to take, but it was Jason Whitlock is reporting that his card got declined and he's the only one that actually stole from the three different stores.
His card got declined.
Yeah.
He's the only one that actually stole.
No, he's the only one that stole from the three stores. The other two stole from one store. And the Trump LeVar Ball thing. It was reported that UCLA and the counselor made a deal that they would do 20 days in house arrest, but Trump actually came in and said they worked out a deal where they stopped it at 8 and sent them home. So, kind of true, kind of not true, just wasn't specific enough.
Just stupid 18-year-old, man. I mean, really, just dumb. We all have done dumb stuff. I can remember driving from Nashville to Memphis and keeping my foot on the pedal over 100 miles an hour, you know, for the whole ride. Remember that, don't you, cuz? But I remember we do stupid things.
Right.
You know, when we're young, when you think you're invincible and you do dumb stuff. It, you know, wisdom comes with age. And, you know, to harp on it now, you know, he's getting beat over the head. He's lost his scholarship basically by his dad pulling him out and all that. So, LeAngelo, move on from it. Hope you learn from it. And
Is it wrong for me to, like, have some skepticism because it came from Jason Whitlock?
That's the only reason it's being reported, because all these facts have been known, but it only takes remember we were talking about Field and House. It takes the house to bring it out. Okay. So that's the only thing with Jason Whitlock. That's the only reason he reported it.
The only thing that I would even question is, how do you get a car declined if you're driving a Lamborghini?
He spent too much money.
Yes, it wasn't a black car.
Yeah. It was silver. Yeah, platinum.
Was it one of those, what do you call those, when you put your money on your car?
Prepaid debit card.
Oh, my God.
He had a prepaid net spin.
He had a rush car.
Hey, Russell Simmons, man. Send that man some bread, man. But the crazy thing about it is, LeVar went and took LeAngelo out of UCLA. He was asked the question, is this going to affect LaMelo? And he said, no, why? LaMelo's still going to UCLA. And he's only going to be there for 1 year.
I thought you took him away from it. I said he wasn't going there.
He said LaMelo will still go to UCLA.
Okay.
And that's kind of odd to me. Because the regime will be the same.
What are all the reports talking about? He's taking them both overseas to play.
They are looking into that.
That's what I heard.
They're looking into teams.
Right.
Because I think LaMelo could still go overseas and play if he were to actually
play.
That's
what they do overseas anyway.
And then still come back to play in UCLA.
LaMelo won't be able to play in college anyway, because he's already released a shoe where he's profiting off that money. So you know the stupid NCAA is going to punish him once he does come out in 2 years.
I don't know if he can still remember Greg Anthony had a T-shirt line. So you can still he might not be able to get a scholarship. He probably had to pay his own way.
Well, you know the kid Jellyfam, the point guard now at Minnesota. He started a movement called the Jelly Movement, and he was profiting off T-shirts and such. And they made him sit out a couple of games this year because of that.
Well, you imagine, like, we're talking about the kicker at Central Florida had a YouTube channel.
Yeah,
he was making money.
Right.
But he had to leave the team and school.
Yeah, he had to fork over his scholarship. And then the kid who went to the Winter Olympics, the skier, who was a wide receiver back in the day.
Colorado.
From Colorado. They made him.
The NCAA, but see, that's the thing about it. So many things are against it here, and then they're not here. And just like, to me, it's the most stupid rule is you can play pro baseball, but you can come back and play college
football.
It's the stupid. The NCAA makes no sense.
You know why it is.
Yes.
I can keep it 1,000 right here. It's not that. It's because who plays baseball, who plays basketball and football.
Oh yeah.
They don't want these kids that come from deprived, low income families, low income situations. You're not allowed to make no money. If you're not making money for us, even if it is just for 1 year. We got an issue with that.
I agree with that.
There it is. All right. I'm pretty sure Gio would like to comment on this. Aaron Boone gets a job with the Yankees after many interviews with Carlos Beltran and David Cone of such. I don't know if Paul O'Neill did an interview. But you think that's the right move for the Yankees?
I knew I loved him as my engineer for a reason. Like, how we gonna go from the hot topic of college basketball and LeVar Ball to baseball?
All right, well, let's pick it back up. The best touchdown celebration that you've seen this year.
Ooh,
Duck, Duck, Goose.
That's the best one for you?
Duck, Duck, Goose, man. Because it was the first. It was original.
Oh, no, I think I did like the free throw shooting the other day.
Yeah, the box out when they boxed out.
They boxed out. Did you see that one?
Yes, I did.
That was.
I like the layup line.
Layup line was
tight. Yeah, the layup.
Soul Train was pretty dope. Yeah.
And the layup line, he did a Euro step.
Yeah.
Hey, tight, potato sack racer was pretty
potato
good.
Potato sack was good.
I like that one.
I can tell you one that was horrible.
What's that?
The fake delivering of the baby.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
That was horrible.
Yeah, I didn't care for that one.
Z, which one you like?
You did?
I
thought you would have liked that.
I
I like the when yeah, it was Juju Smith-Schuster like playing like shooting dice.
Oh, okay.
You ever see that one? That was like week one.
Hide go seek.
I like that one.
Hide go seek. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was.
That was a good one.
So what about the one that Philadelphia did, Torrey Smith with the long ball when he was bad?
The home run.
The home run.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, that's been used before. It's been used.
But they had the whole setup. I
like that. Yeah, they had the catch and the umpire.
Oh, the other one that was really good, the bowling.
Bowling was tight.
Yeah, bowling was
tight. Bowling was tight.
Bowling was tight.
There was one that I think the Vikings did to where it was on Thanksgiving to where they all sat down and like pretended to eat. And passing,
Yeah.
Now I'm saying the Vikings are the best at the
better than Philly.
Yeah, Philly. They did the electric slide.
Philly looked like they have more like, fun. Electric, I think Philly has
the electric slide. He was like, "Well, you know, some of us was off, bruh. Everybody on there 22 years old. They don't even know what the electric slide is."
Man, that dance, man. It is.
All right, man, we got to go to break when we get back.
Oh, Harold checked in and said, duck, duck, goose.
Oh, duck, duck, goose. I hear you.
We play that at home. Don't tell nobody.
Hey, we got Bo Bell in the building. We're coming back to talk some NBA and Bo Bell basketball. Listen to Sports Roundtable and SRTRadio.com.
Are you thinking about changing the station? You're only hurting yourself. Keep listening to Sports Roundtable on 1100 AM.
You are tuned into WWE Peakville, AM 1100.
The opinions expressed during the sponsored programs on this station are strictly those of the program hosts, guests, and callers and are not necessarily those of Beasley Broadcast Group, this station, its staff, other advertisers, or agencies.
Basketball season is already underway, and even though you're playing, you want to take your game to the next level. That's where the Bo Bell Basketball Academy comes in. For boys and girls ages 6 and up, Atlanta's own Bo Bell has played and coached basketball all around the world and is here to share his philosophies to help any player maximize their potential. Visit CoachBoBell.com for details about upcoming camps or call 770-912-4104 for more information. Bo Bell Basketball Academy. Maximize your true potential. Are you looking for a new, pre-owned, or used car to get you around the city or simply from point A to point B? Look no further. Jay's Used Cars is the place to be. Jay believes your job is your credit, and no matter what your situation is, Jay will get you in a car. Visit Jay's at 3820 Lawrenceville Highway in Tucker and mention Sports Roundtable, get a 10% discount. Go to jaysusedcars.com to check out the inventory. Jay's Used Cars, where they stack them deep and sell them cheap.
There's a lot going on in the world, and your world is always changing. That's why it's important to stay connected. The latest news, the latest entertainment, the newest music. If it's in the air or on the air, it can be in the palm of your hand, wherever you are, with the iHeartRadio app.
iHeartRadio.
Over 1,500 live radio stations from across the country, and over 15 million songs to create your own custom stations. Text IHR to 45495 to download the app or listen at iHeartRadio.com. Standard text and data rates apply.
Sports Roundtable.
My buster this week, maybe it's a different kind of buster. He might be more of a mark. Mm-hmm. And that is Michael Crabtree of the Oakland Raiders for getting his chain snatched a second time by Aqib Talib.
And he taped it. Rumors are, allegedly, he taped his chain to his body. So he wouldn't snatch his chain. Y'all know what that reminded me of?
Debo.
I'm just going to tuck mine in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to tuck mine in. Come on, man.
Only on 1100 AM, the Worldwide Radio Network.
Uh-oh, Breezy.
Yeah.
Looks like they back for a fifth season, man.
Who that?
Sports Roundtable.
Who?
S-R-T. Crew.
Whoa.
SRSRSRSRT, they got that realness flowing in they DNA. Damn you lame, if you ain't tuned to SRT today. HO got that payload when he say so, what you betting on? Don't get mad at me on fantasy, break up Kyrie LeBron. I be smooth as sports superhero Hancock in the mix. Deal with roll type forever, real talk, you know who he gon' pick. See where I be with SRT, behind the glass, that G-Money. They win it strong, I never lose, six man elite, that's Jay Smooth.
All you other sports radio shows, it's fake news. Bleed it. Turn up your radios, cause it's time for SRT Radio.
Yeah.
What up, what up, what up? It's Sports Roundtable, second hour of the show. Thanks for tuning in to that first hour. It was hot and jumping. And to all y'all Facebook folks, I know y'all was catching that back conversation about Mr. Ball, D-Will, and Hancock going at it as they do each and every week about Lonzo Ball trying to figure out his numbers. Numbers lie, numbers don't lie. His shot, he shoot from the wrong side and all kind of stuff. And it just goes on and on and on. So, but his father is not helping him at all, putting a lot of pressure on him and things of that nature. But with all that being said, and since we're talking about basketball, we have someone here tonight that can talk basketball with the best of them, and not only talk but teach. Our main man is in the building, back again doing his thing, Coach Bo Bell.
What's up, fellas? What's up, man?
Yo,
what's
yo,
up, Bo Bell?
What's up, baby?
What's happening?
Good being back, guys.
There you go.
Yeah, man.
Welcome home.
Thank
welcome
you,
home.
Welcome glad, home. You glad, already know.
Glad to be here, guys.
Thanks for being a sponsor, of course. You can go to our website, srtradio.com, and you can go to bobellbasketball.com. Go ahead and let everybody know anything you want them to know about Bo Bell Academy.
Yes.
What's coming up next, and the things of that nature.
Absolutely. Well, what we got over the holidays, we got some camps, half-day camps from 9 to 2 o'clock. The Christmas camp is the 27th and the 28th of December. And then we're going to have a New Year's camp on the 4th and the 5th, and they're from 9 to 2. So if you want to get your kids out of the house after Christmas, bring them over, and we're going to do a lot of drills, footwork, ball handling, but also we're going to do one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three. Just make it fun, but give them some real structural fundamentals that yes. they can use in their games.
That's what's up. Yeah. Okay. Got a phone call from a friend of mine this past week, and they called me and she said, my grandbaby is 7 and trying to get him into some basketball. I say, say no more. Tune in Wednesday, it'll be in the studio. Get y'all information. Sent the video. Of course, sent the video. She said, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We go be tuned in. So we'll be looking for some new campers.
We appreciate it.
Yeah,
what's the ages?
New campers.
Well, we start at ages as young as 3-4 years old. You know, if they can pay attention, man, we can help them. You know, so we don't discriminate. Like we had one kid. We had like a couple of kids who were like 2 years old." So if they can, you know, kind of focus on it and really like it, you know, we can help them.
Okay. Yeah. But I had to get old Boogie in there. Boogie had his first basketball game the other night. I'm 1-0 as the coach.
Hey.
We put up 42 points.
Hey.
Boogie had two, but he had about 6 steals. He had a Lonzo game. Shout out to the Georgia Thunder, my little 6U team.
You can't be doing no daddy ball now.
Hey, man, you know. You had to sell him out at 5 minutes. They had to come out.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many minutes he played?
Everybody got to save him out.
Exactly. All right, so Coach Bell, thanks for joining us today. We've been talking about, and I'm pretty sure you've seen all of these things that's going on with LeVar, Lonzo, just the whole situation. If you was a dad, can you just kind of tell us how you would approach having 3 sons as talented as the Balls are? How would you approach this situation? Is he going about it the right way? Maybe there's not a right or wrong way, but would you choose a different way to kind of approach this situation?
Well, personally, I would But, you know, those are his kids, and that's the way that he choose to promote his kids,
right,
and to raise them, you know, to be confident and to believe that they can do anything that they want to do under the sun.
Right.
And so it has its pros and cons with this whole situation. I just think with that comes a lot of pressure.
Yes.
And you know, already, you know, the pressures of playing basketball, because the basket is only 18 and a half in diameters.
Right.
The ball is 9, you know? And so it's only so much room for error. And you got to score the ball with people on you. You see what I mean? And so that's pressure within itself a lot of times. So with all the added pressure, I think it just put, you know, kerosene on the fire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Put kerosene on the fire. So the kids can't focus. And see, anytime you take the instincts away from a player, I don't care what level, you're not going to get the max player. You're not even going to get flashes. And so I think that's what's taking place. These kids, they have so much pressure, and they're trying to perform, which is very difficult at that level. You got the pressure of the media, and then you got your father, I mean, your parents with that added pressure. Personally, I would not do it that way. You know, I would allow my kids to, first of all, be kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, allow them to be kids, man. You know, choose and pick what you want to do, and then once you decide, then we're going to push you in that direction. But that's his choice, and, you know, we can say what we want to say. You know, his kids, you know, they're going to be successful because, you know, put them in a position to do that. But with that, it comes a huge amount of pressure. Now, is it worth it? I don't know. Because, you know, to me, pressure busts a pipe.
Yeah.
So just think about what it can do to somebody's head.
Yeah.
And so, that's my big, you know, and stress. You know, it's the number one killer.
Yeah, stress is real.
Yeah, it's real.
Depression is real.
Yes, man. So I just don't know how that's going to affect them, not just now, but in the long run.
Yeah.
You know, just dealing with that whole thing. So some kind of way they got to get away from the stress part of it. And I don't know what that's going to do. I mean, I don't know how they're going to do that, because that's his father. So I think, you know, it's going to be a tough situation. But, you know, I wish the best for all of his kids, because the way that, you know, he's trying to push his kids, and like any father, to be the best that they could possibly be in this world today, because everything is commercial and, you know, advertising, promoting, and I guess reality. So he's capitalizing on all of that.
Yep.
So
because they revoked his media stuff, the Lakers. Well,
yeah, the Lakers came up with a media rule,
yeah,
saying that the media could not interview any of the family members of the players.
Right.
Well, I mean,
bar ball rule.
After the game.
Not after, right.
Right. But if you keep, you know, being negative toward the organization,
right,
talking about what they should do with your son, I mean, they should censor him a little bit.
Right.
But they can't censor him, but at least build a wall around, you know, the players and the team, because he's being negative. Like, right, you say, he is adding pressure to his, yes, son. There's no doubt about it.
Well, basically, the rule is, like, they just don't want him doing it at the game.
Right.
Not at the Staples Center. If it's the next day in front of his house at the grocery store or wherever, that's fine. But not at the game.
But he's basically calling Luke out.
Right.
You see, yeah, what I'm saying? He's calling out the coaching staff. Right.
Yeah.
And so how does that play with the other teammates?
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? Like, man, your dad need to chill.
Yeah. And you know, it's unprofessional. No, yeah. Don't get me wrong. I mean, but at the same time, like, the kid got pressure. That put added pressure on the team as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
So, you know, I mean, we look at it either way. But I think at the end of the day, until he relieved that pressure, which is, I mean, his father, I mean, I hate to say it, but that part of it, some kind of way, that's got to go away.
Got to go away.
You think Magic would do it over again if he had a chance? Not so much about how, you know, whether you feel like he's playing bad or not. Just the added stuff that LeVar brings, do you think Magic would have second thoughts on taking him?
I think Fox looking real good right about now.
That would have been the worst pick. You should have picked that boy that went third,
yes,
out of Duke. Like, if he would have took De'Aaron Fox, because he's not impressing me. I'm just sorry.
They won't let him play.
It would have changed if the Lakers took Tatum, then they don't take Kuzma. They get someone else,
right.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Right. We'll see. All right, man. So with all that being said, it's time to jump into this SRT roundtable discussion, because we're about to talk some NBA.
The Roundtable Discussion.
What are we talking about?
Hit it!
Crazy though, man. Like, I can just only imagine the pressure that gotta
be tough.
God.
Oh, T-Money rocking with it tonight. Sports Roundtable. Roundtable Discussion sponsored by Bo Bell Basketball. If you got any kids, he says now ages 3 to 4, they can pay attention. Want to increase and improve your basketball game, please go to CoachBoBellBasketball.com, where we preach and teach feet work. Footwork.
I was going to say.
You said it right.
Yeah,
you feet work,
baby. Yeah, I was trying to rhyme. You know, bars, D.
Bars. No, I was giving you. That's what I was going to say. Bars.
Bars. Bars, baby. All right, let's get to it. All right, so the surprise of the NBA season this year, and D, we'll start out with you because everybody on Facebook saying I'm always starting with hand and all that. You know, I'm like, you know, hey,
you just going around like you're clock, shoving cards.
They don't see us. They don't see us.
So what has surprised you thus far in the NBA?
Really surprising is the Oklahoma City Thunder. How they have underperformed so far this year. Right now they are, if I'm not mistaken, 11-13. They're 2 games under 500. And coming into the season with the additions of Carmelo Anthony and Paul George, we thought that we had a super team on our hands. And I'm not sure if it's a fact of them just not getting the continuity together yet, but they have severely underperformed. One of the most overrated stats in basketball to me is the plus minus, because you know, just because you're on the court, if you're not contributing, that didn't mean that you are actually contributing to the plus minus. So, but I got to say it. I got to give a plus minus stat. When all three of them are in the game together, they are minus 42.2 points on the season. So,
ooh,
something.
That
number's not lying. So something has to be done with that lineup. It obviously is something wrong in that lineup, the continuity of how it works out. Something is going wrong, and we have to do something to change that out, because if you're negative 42 points on the season total, and that is your bread and butter as a unit, you got issues.
They need to bring in, you know how you bring in a consultant?
Mm-hmm.
They need to bring in Chris Bosh as a consultant and have him with Melo and say, this is the role you have to take. For us to be successful, this is what you got to take a back seat.
Well, he gonna have to extend that jump shot a little more if you want to do that. All right, Coach.
Yeah.
But what's your surprise in NBA this season?
I got two. My first one is Detroit.
Yeah,
it's Detroit. They're playing good basketball. My man told me right there. I asked him early.
Yeah,
he told me that. I said Detroit. We was arguing about it. And so I said, I was thinking Boston.
Right.
Because nobody expected Boston to be in a position without Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we expect them to be good, but they don't have Hayward. But Detroit, they're playing. Drummond is playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Van Gundy, you know, he's always been a winning coach. Mm-hmm. His style of play, you know, in your face. You know, let's play defense. Let's play together. The guy Reggie Jackson, yeah, he's playing well. They got some good pieces, man, and they playing collective. And I think Drummond is playing better than he ever played.
Yes, he is.
In his career. Good. And he's improving his free throws.
Yes.
Did he go to your camp? Did you get him?
No, I didn't get him. I wish he came.
Yeah.
So he's still in the 60s. We can get him up some more. We can get him up some more. He can still come in.
Exactly. Yeah.
We'll get a shot class or something, man.
There you go.
But Boston Celtics, man, let me tell you something, man. When I watch them play, I actually saw a game with Kyrie, man. Those guys, they got good athletes, guys that can shoot, can stretch the floor. Remember we talked about the last segment on the show last time I was here about the positions basketball.
Is it? Yeah. But
you see the kind of guys that they got. They got the guy Tatum. They got that guy Brown. The floor is spread out.
Even with Al Horford.
Yeah.
Al Horford can stretch it. So with a guy like Kyrie can get in the gut of the defense whenever he wants to, somebody got to help.
Yep.
And so when they help, once that ball come out, it's not the first one. It's the second and third pass.
Yeah.
Wide open, man. And so I think that's what make Boston special, man. They got that guy. They got that dude, man, Kyrie.
He can close. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Ham.
Well, my team, and I was a little – I told you all about these two guys, and that's Philadelphia 76ers team. Embiid
And my man, hey man, let's just be real. Embiid talks the talk and he walks the walk. He goes out and he tells people, I'm about to do this to you, and he does it. He took Drummond to school the other night. I mean, he did. No matter what you say about him, as long as he's healthy. And I know that's a big caveat, but he's been healthy this year, and maybe he's taking some games off, but we've seen.
Plenty.
But he's balling. He's balling.
Right.
And then we don't even talk about Ben Simmons right now. Ooh. Is a beast. And I know that, you know, his detractors about his shot and
free
all
throw
that.
Shooting.
That's, yeah, all fine and dandy.
Who that sound like?
No, his numbers and things, he don't come off the floor in the fourth quarter. So he's not Lonzo Ball. I guarantee you right now, if Magic Johnson could do what he wanted to do, he'd call and say, let me have Ben and you take Lonzo.
No,
I promise you that.
Yeah.
But it's just
Michael
being
Carter
real
Williams?
About it. Hmm. No, Mike Carter Williams is more close to Lonzo.
He won Rookie of the Year, right?
Yeah, he did.
Okay,
and Lonzo won.
I want to see Ben Simmons next year.
You're gonna see Ben Simmons for years to come.
Okay,
I promise you that.
Yeah,
and we talk about jumpers getting better. So if Lonzo's can get better, which is gonna have to be an act of Congress and a miracle from God, Ben Simmons can get better. For sure, because it doesn't have to get as it's not as bad as Lonzo has to change his shot. Mm. He has to. That shot is ridiculous. But we're back to the team I'm talking about, Philadelphia. That's my surprise. Right now, I think they're either fourth or fifth best record in the East. Mm-hmm. So that's my team.
All right. I'm going with Oladipo. Been a surprise for me. This kid, he had coming out of Indiana, he was more of a dunker, streaky shooter, highlight reel, 6'4". I don't know if you play the point, the two guard. You know, you kind of had mixed. He's averaging 23 points a game this year, 4 assists, and he has the Pacers looking very, very good over in the East. And if you looked at him last year, looked kind of lost with OKC. Everybody...
Say why?
Well, because I guess he wasn't getting the ball like he needed to.
Well, and another thing about Oladipo, he changed his body in the offseason. If you go look at him last year and you look at his body, his body still looked like a little kid.
Yeah.
It's not all Russell. Don't get, I'm just tripping.
And now he actually looks like an NBA player by the body. And you can tell in his play, he's able to endure a lot of contact going to the rack. Last year when he was in OKC, he wasn't able to endure a lot of that contact.
Isn't it a lot about being comfortable in the situation?
Oh, without a doubt.
And I don't think he was comfortable with Russell because you don't know what to do but stand there and watch him play.
And a lot of guys don't know how to play second fiddle.
Exactly.
And yeah, he probably doesn't know how to play. And now he is the guy in the end.
He got the keys a little bit.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, exactly. Yeah. I agree. So, Oladipo has been my surprise, and obviously going to the Boston situation, Jason Tatum leading the league in three-point shooting. He was not a three-point shooter at Duke. He was more of a mid. He came out of high school as the next, Jared Henderson, the slash and the Grant Hill, the mid-range guy. But new basketball, he has stretched it out a little bit, maybe a little quicker than expected because of Haywood, right. But he has stepped up to the plate. He's shooting 51% from the three.
I'm so impressed how he finishes at around the rim right now.
Well, he's 6'10".
The body, you look at him and you say, I don't know, the pounding or whatever, but one thing we talk about, the spread, allows him to get lanes. If he gets within that little range of the rim, he's finished.
And I had a conversation about him on Facebook this week, actually just today, about whether he would be able to do this if he was on another team. And meaning, playing in Boston, he's basically playing by himself, okay? When Kyrie gets the ball, it's all eyes on Kyrie. So when that ball is kicked to Jason, whether it's on the wing, whether it's in the corner, he's shooting basically wide-open shots.
See, yeah.
That's perfect. That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point, and that's what I was going to talk about. It's like, we could play in the NBA now if we can make shots.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If we get with the right team. all you got to do is catch and shoot. Like, none of these guys are really creating. If you're able to catch the basketball, especially when you got good guys that can break the defense down, catch and just make the shot.
That's it.
Just catch and make the shot.
Klay Thompson.
Yes, that's all you need to do. Like, even same thing with Golden State. They just catch and shoot. Now, Klay is a little bit more creative with his shooting, you know, because he's able to create his own shot. I think Tatum can, too. But when you got a guy like Kyrie, man, just get to the spots, man. Just get to the spot.
And then if you go to Basketball Academy, he will teach you the shot fake on the closeout, not the step back, but the step over, and then finish the shot.
Right.
So, you know, that's one of the good
one or two dribbles.
You teach him the extra pass?
Well, we teach him
that
extra.
Hockey assist.
Absolutely. But we see, if you want to play in rhythm, you got to train in rhythm.
Right.
And so what we do is we teach them, we got the 1-2, 1-2-3. And if you got to do more than that, you need to pass the ball. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we teach them.
Russell didn't go to your
– No, he did. That's what we did. We
blame that on Steve Nash. Steve Nash messed up the poor guard situation. Steve Nash did that when everybody was forcing – sideline, he would penetrate, keep dribbling, keep his dribble alive, and go down the baseline.
Come out the other side.
And everybody now dribbles the ball till the air comes out.
Yeah.
Go ahead, boy.
Well, the thing about it, when you dribble the ball too much, anytime you dribble the ball on offense more than you should, you suffocate the offensive flow. You understand what I'm saying? You suffocate the offensive flow. When the ball move and bodies move, that's when things are beautiful.
Right.
Like the Spurs. Like I said, they cracked the code a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, they get the right players. You then bring them in. Those guys move the ball. Once they got penetrate, when that ball come out, boom, boom. It's like a thing of art.
Yeah. I believe I can do what Danny Green do.
That's what I'm saying, man. He's just making me shots. Right. He's making $6-7 million just catching, making shots, man.
Exactly.
And then one or two dribbles. Like, no more than one or two dribbles.
That's all you need.
That's
all you need, man.
And they're effective that way.
But we see it all the time. If those guys, like you said, if they go other places, they're not as effective.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. And that was a conversation I was having. I was like, Tatum being a rookie, I don't know if he's able to create and average the points and field goal percentage that he's averaging. If
not in every situation.
Exactly.
Every situation.
He's in the perfect situation.
He would have to adjust his game to be more of a mid-range person.
And another thing that helped was that Haywood is out. Now he got those minutes.
Right. Yeah.
See, you think about it. He would not be getting all these minutes if Haywood was still.
And he would be playing behind Jalen Brown also, because Jalen Brown is also balling.
That's what
and
I mean.
He's a defender. Yeah, Jalen exactly. Brown is a hell of a defender.
He's a dog.
Might have been a blessing for him.
Exactly. All right, G, what's your surprise?
Last year, we were skeptical of D'Antoni putting James Harden at point guard.
Yeah.
And I believe this summer we were skeptical of Chris Paul going to the Rockets. But the Rockets are 8-0 with Chris Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 18-4 overall. I think they have the best record in the league, percentage-wise at least. I was a little skeptical, but then I thought, well, you know, if this is where Chris Paul was going to sign as a free agent anyway, then he believed that this could work playing with James Harden. And so far it is. Yes, they still don't play any defense, but their defense is actually, let's get up as many shots as we possibly can.
It's the best offense.
Yeah, if you're a basketball player, that's the offense
that's
you want to play in.
Willy-nilly
free will.
There it is. All right, with that, great segue. With that being said, Coach Bobel, how, in your opinion, is Houston making this work?
That's a good point. I think with Chris Paul and Harden, they got two different styles.
Okay.
Like, Harden, you know, he's an up-tempo type player. What they do is they complement each other's game, because Chris Paul, he set up and process and play sort of like in a rhythm, like the flow. He get everything. He's a ball-dominant guy as well.
Right.
But I just think both of their games complements each other. And they both are facilitators. But I think sometimes Paul, he beat it up a little bit too much. But when – beat the ball to the ground too much. But I think Harden, when he have the basketball, when he handling the basketball, you know something is getting ready to happen, whether he's going to score or he's going to facilitate and make the right pass.
Right.
Or he's going to be at the free throw line.
Ain't no doubt.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's – I'm still not all the way in yet.
It's hard to get hand to cross over.
Because I want to see what happens when adversity hits. Does Chris Paul revert? You understand what I'm saying? Does he go back to pounding the ball too much? that when things don't go well and somebody gets past, let's say runs past Harden and he's looking in the stands or whatever. Does he start to grind on the team like we've heard from a lot of teams that he's left? You hear all the stuff that comes out on Paul about how he's wants to be ball dominant. And to be honest, I haven't seen him in this 8-game win streak. Mm-hmm. I've heard, you know, seen highlights. I want to watch a game of them to give me more perspective on what they're doing.
Against a contender also.
Exactly. So that's what I want to see, because we tend to, if you're a leopard, you're going to keep them same leopard spots. So I want to see what happens if he's going to revert back to being CP3. Right now, he might be Chris Paul.
Yeah, I agree. But here's the thing, too. Like, when you're looking at, to me, it's a difference between a pro and a professional player, basketball player. I mean, to me, Chris Paul has always been a professional. Even though he have his ways, et cetera, he's a professional. And he's a professional because he wants to win.
Yeah.
So he's going to do what's necessary to win. I just don't see – I mean, you're right. When they haven't faced adversity yet, but they're developing a style of play that can – if that continues to grow, that's going to be tough to guard, because they're going to outscore you. And then you got to stop. They got two real –
Spread
the floor shooter, man. And get other people involved.
Well, I got a question then, if that's the case. If those are your thoughts and your thoughts as well, help me understand this. He had a chance to go to San Antonio too, right?
Yep.
And if he's a professional and wants to win, why wouldn't you choose San Antonio when you have Kawhi Leonard, Aldridge, and the way that they move the ball in today's game, because they've cracked the code first.
You can't play him and Tony Parker together. Mm-mm. See, and this, I think that was the reason.
You think that was the reason?
Because Tony Parker, they would be the same player basically in that system.
That's a good point.
In this system,
neither one of them stretch the floor.
Right. So,
exactly.
In this system, at least Chris Paul is at least a decent outside shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he fits better with what they do in Houston.
Okay.
You know, honestly, that's the way I see it. Just how is Tony Parker going to, you know, bow down and say, okay, go ahead, Chris?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? He's
a professional.
But there's no big personality besides James Harden.
Right.
That James Harden is a big personality in Houston. But what I'm saying is there's a little bit more room for him to find a niche.
And I agree with you on that, because you got to understand it's not a lot of shots to go around. And in San Antonio, they don't get up volume shots like they do in Houston. Houston's going to probably double you up on shots. So that makes more opportunities for Chris, for James, your turn, my turn. In San Antonio, it wasn't going to be a lot of that.
Right.
It's going to be a lot of system. We're going to move the ball. The person who shoots is going to be the man who's open. Not you going to get 30 and I'm going to get 20.
Right.
So I believe that, like you say, that system in Houston fits it better, because there's more opportunity, there's more possessions in a game. And then when James goes out, Chris can take over.
And also, like I said, Tony Parker is a champion.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? He's a champion in San Antonio. There's no championship in Houston for anybody to say, how you going to unseat a champion?
Right.
In San Antonio, you're like, wait a minute, Tony got us some championships.
Right. Yeah, we have a saying in basketball, you are what you can guard, right? So if you're a one, can you guard a one? If you're a two, can you guard a two? You are what you can guard. So if you got Tony Parker and you got Chris Paul, and these in the league, the two guards are 6'5", 6'6", can do everything. So I think it's a better compliment with Paul and Harden together.
I agree.
Yeah.
G, your thoughts
from
on
defensive standpoint?
On, I guess, why Chris Paul didn't go to San Antonio?
That and, you already said why they're playing well, so yeah.
I think, there's Tony Parker who's still there. Maybe he got spooked a little bit about Kawhi Leonard, as far as like, is he going to be playing? What's my role actually going to be? I did think that him and Greg Popovich would start yelling at each other first day of training camp. Because Greg Popovich will cuss out any player. He was cussing out Tim Duncan in his last year still.
Right.
And both of the, like, I agree, because both of those are grinders. Like Chris Paul grinds on his teammates. Pop grinds on his players. And you can't have two grinders grinding against each other. That's like having, you know, your ball bearings without oil. Right.
But to your point, Han, I think also with the young kid, Murray,
mm-hmm.
it kind of stunts his growth a little bit.
True.
Because I think he is the next.
He's the next in line
for that particular.
That's another thing. That's something that San Antonio really doesn't do. Like, they develop their talent. You can clearly see it.
Right.
And to bring in free agents like they did with Aldridge and Gasol, then to bring in a Chris Paul, it's not something they normally do. They have been successful by developing. They got Tim Duncan, but still, Ginobili kind of came out of nowhere, and Parker, and we didn't know what Kawhi Leonard was going to be. He was playing power forward in college,
right?
And he becomes this wing player. So,
what is his problem? Speaking to him, what's the
he's supposed to be coming back this week? I think it's just an error on the side of caution with him right now.
Right.
He probably could have been back.
You think so?
But I think it was, you know, we're winning games. There's no need to rush him back. But the person, since we're on the subject of San Antonio, who surprises me in San Antonio, who I thought was going to have a bigger role, especially with Kawhi out, was Rudy Gay.
Mm.
And Rudy Gay has taken a step back.
Yeah,
taken a step back, they've moved him to the bench.
That Achilles is gone.
It's taken away all his explosiveness.
Yeah.
But just, I really, really, really like the kid, Kyle Anderson, Slow-Mo. Oh.
Yeah.
Slow-Mo is playing.
The Matrix.
Listen, you saw him in the beginning, his first couple years in the league, it was questionable. You really didn't know what you were going to get from him. Is he a point guard? Is he a three? What is his actual position? But now that he's actually settled into that small forward role,
and the way Popovich wants him to play,
he is flourishing to the point where once Kawhi gets back, Rudy Gay is not going to get any time.
Right?
You know, he's Diaw now.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's got Boris Diaw's role in San Antonio now.
What a great, like, when you watch the Spurs play, man, what a great environment of basketball to be in, to be a part of. Like, think about back in the day when we used to play pickup games, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you go and pick your teams, and you got five guys, never saw each other before, don't even know each other, but when they get out there as if they played.
Yeah.
It's the game. The game produces chemistry natural if you play it the right way.
Right.
And so what Popovich did, he make guys, okay, here's the system. Ron Carlson said, here's a simple play of basketball. This is how we're going to play. We're going to defend. We're going to play hard. We're going to play smart. And we're going to play together. Simple as that. The ball move, body move, and everybody's on the same page. Now, what make them so special is all of those players respect him.
Yeah.
And so that's the hardest thing in the NBA, because the guys are making so much money, mm-hmm. is to get the respect from the players as a coach. That's why these guys be in and out, the coaches. So if you look around the league, it's only a handful of guys, coaches, that you can say, man, these guys really respect
their
coach.
They respect that coach.
They respect that coach.
Yep.
And so when you get that type of situation where you got the good players and all these guys buying into that, you're going to get consistent winning.
Right. And it comes from the top down. I like what you're saying there. And that's why I think we're having a problem with what's happening in Golden State. Right now they're winning because they can cover a lot of their ills.
Mm-hmm.
But it's starting from the top down. Kerr loses it on the sideline, cussing and acting a fool. Draymond does it. Now it's spilled over to Steph throwing mouthpieces and KD getting kicked out. Even Livingston got kicked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
that's outside of his character.
Right. So it's the whole thing that it's like it's getting unhinged. And you used to talk about, is Draymond a cancer? It was okay when everybody said, we're going to stay in line, let Draymond be a fool. Now it's almost like everybody on the team is being a fool.
You know what that is, right? You know what that is. That's three straight finals. That's we've been here before. Like, they're starting to smell themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, back when they were still grinding, you even heard Steph make a comment earlier this year, we play for June.
Right. They have started to play.
You know,
I agree with that.
We play for June, and I believe that's a big issue, because these are the times that you build your continuity. You win. After winning 73 games and breaking that record, they really started to feel themselves and be like, you know what? We better than – I'm not going to say they think they're better than what they are, because they're great. And they've proven that.
But they do think they're better.
They think
they're
better than what they are.
They went down by 20 the other night and then just turn it on and come and win the game.
Exactly.
And it's happened. What, they did it three times this year?
Something like that, yeah.
Two times, at least twice.
At least
down
twice,
by
I know.
20.
20, yeah.
And come back to win the game going away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the thing is, I don't think it's really like they're feeling themselves. I mean, maybe they are a little bit.
They
but
are.
I think for the most part, yes, it's three straight finals. And they're thinking about June. They're bored. I just think they're
that's
bored.
That's the issue.
But boredom.
They
got to
get themselves
like
motivated.
Like
think about
exactly.
it like this. Think about it like this. Like with not to really compare it too much, but think about with Michael Jordan, to where if he's getting to the finals, and you know he's going to get, he knows he's going to get to the finals, and he's looking for the slightest something bit of motivation, something.
I but that's not motivation.
I understand that.
But yeah, that's not motivation.
This is in a way what it is for the Warriors, to where like they're looking for, like if they're not, look when KD got ejected, weren't they up by like 23? Like the game was pretty much over. And he got ejected because he was arguing a foul call where they're already winning the game.
Exactly. And what I'm saying to you is, to your point, is Draymond, Kevin Durant doesn't even look like himself anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, he still can score it, he can do it, but he's arguing every call like Draymond now. If they get a foul, everybody's looking like
then Dwayne Wade go through that?
Yeah.
I mean, once he started to act like after he got the rings.
The rings.
Yeah. Like I should get all his calls.
LeBron last week got ejected. First time in his career, but they were up by 23. Right. Why is he arguing these calls? They're just trying to get something.
I think it's entertainment.
Yeah, get another gear to where they can convince themselves.
I don't agree.
From top down.
And that's what I say. I don't agree with it. Because they're, like Coach Bobel said earlier, they're professionals.
Yes.
They shouldn't need that to have them motivated. So if they're taking that as motivation, that's a huge issue. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, if they continue to let it happen, it's going to come back to bite them in the worst situations, because it's going to happen when they least need it to happen.
Check this out, though.
Houston may be the one to do it.
Absolutely. You remember back in the day, well, not that long ago, where, you know, we knew who the teams was, you know. Like today, get almost every team winning 50 games during the regular season.
Yeah.
We got more teams winning 50 games or more in the regular season than ever. They winning consistently. And the reason it is, just to go back to what D-Will was saying, right? It's like these guys, they pace themselves. Yeah. Like they even, like some of these guys don't even play some of the games. They fake, they act like they're injured, but they're not injured. They're resting.
Yeah. Because
they're preparing for the playoffs. And like he said, Steph, that's what Steph said, that's a fact. They preparing for June. So, but my point is this. That is a problem for me. Because people spend money to see the best players play and to perform at a high level. I mean, these guys, man, like, I'm just saying, I don't want to say they saw. I mean, it's just.
Go, yeah, say it. It's the truth.
It's just not as tough as it used to be, man. It's just not as tough as it used to be. And so what's happening now is these guys play AAU. Everybody told them how good they was all the way through their careers. And now they're getting up in the NBA. So everybody, if a referee make a call, everybody got something to say about the referee's call.
Oh, man, yeah.
Everybody. It's not just, I mean, it's around the league now. That's like the cool thing now.
Yeah. Everybody
talking to the referee instead of playing basketball.
And that trickles down, because you got to understand, all those kids on the college, high school, junior high, AAU level, they watch NBA basketball. Yes. That is the standard. So if Draymond argues every call, Boogie Cousins argues every call, and now Steph is arguing, if they see that, that's what they're going to do on their level.
Steve Kerr doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
Steve Kerr acts a nut on the sideline. Yeah.
True.
And it's becoming to a point where you're like, okay, I could deal with it when it was just Draymond. We knew he was going to act a fool. But not everybody's doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, come on, man.
Exactly. And he's doing it less.
Yeah. Exactly. I think it's mostly commercial, man. Yeah, it's all commercial, man. That's what I think.
All right, we're going to take a one-minute break. But before we go to break, man, sources say Derrick Rose has apologized to the Cavs and he should be returning pretty soon. Roger Goodell signs a deal worth up to $200 million for 5 years, so he gets his extension.
Oh, my goodness.
So when we come back, we will talk. We'll wrap it up, but we're going to talk a little bit of LeBron and the Cavs. You listen to Sports Roundtable, srtradio.com.
We'll be back with more Sports Roundtable on the Worldwide Radio Network. College football season is almost over. Championships are being won, and plans are being made for bowl games. But basketball season is heating up, and what goes best with weekend hoops? the best New Orleans seafood restaurant in Atlanta, of course. Come on down to Sports Roundtable Saturday at the Big Easy Grill on December 16th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. You can meet the crew of the best sports radio show in town, enjoy a panel discussion about the big sports stories, and enjoy some great food. If you ask Big H.O., of course, he'll recommend the shrimp. So come on down to Sports Roundtable Saturday, December 16th at the Big Easy Grill at 1193 Collier Road in Atlanta. We hope to see you there.
Sports Roundtable.
Jameis Winston gets my bust of the week, man, for his speech to his team before the game. He probably cost them 10 points. Because everybody probably was like, this is my quarterback, man.
This is my quarterback.
He's sitting here licking his fingers
in front of a bunch of grown men
before the game. I know he already took some snaps in pregame from his center. So, and he licking his fingers talking about eat a duck.
Yeah, they ate an L instead.
on the Worldwide Radio Network, 1100 AM.
Sports Roundtable back, H.O. Sports superhero Hancock D. Will, the coach, D. Money behind the glass. Bo Bell is in the studio, man. We about to wrap things up. Thanks for tuning in to another hot show, man. It's been great. Been popping in here. Bo Bell, I got an email bag question. They say the best shooter that you've seen in your career.
Ooh. The best shooter was Drazen Petrovic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I think we talked about Reagan. That.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he was the best shooter that I ever seen. I mean, I know he scored 113 points in one game. It wasn't against me, but he scored he scored 113 points in one game.
Wow.
And you know, I'm serious, like
I believe it.
You when you know a guy can shoot the basketball, when he shoot the ball and the nets don't move, that's when you know a guy can really shoot. He was one of those guys when he shot the basketball, the nets would just get like that.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Like he was a machine. Shot 1,000 shots a day, man.
There it
this
is.
This guy shot 1,000 shots a day.
One more question, email bag. They knew you was coming in. The best player that you played against that didn't make it?
Ooh, that's a loaded question, man. Because there's a lot of guys, man, back in the day with us, man.
Yeah,
could,
I know.
Honor, man, that didn't make it. Woo! Who could that be, man?
That's
a loaded one right there.
Yeah, man. That is. That's
yeah, that didn't make it. Antoine Scott. I don't know if a lot of people know
him. Yeah, Thera High.
Yeah. Antoine Scott, I thought he could have won a lot.
Boy, he can shoot.
Yeah, he can shoot the basketball.
Did he play with Sedale?
Yeah, he played with Sedale, too.
Yeah.
I thought he could have won a lot farther than what he did. Yeah. I think he had an opportunity to play in Europe.
Antoine was.
Yeah.
He can shoot it. Matter of fact, I saw him a couple of years ago. We got together a couple of times, and we used to hoop over there at the base. Yeah. On Saturday mornings and stuff like that, he can still
name plenty of them, boy.
Yeah.
They got into a little something else.
Yeah, it's a lot of them, man. In Atlanta, man. Atlanta, we got a lot of guys that can really play, man. Yeah,
Mike Mitchell,
all those guys. There's some good
guys. Man, we don't know who y'all talking about. Man, I'm talking about LeBron.
So who is those?
Who is these cats?
Exactly. You remember Mike Glenn? And
who we talking about? Pee Wee Kirkland? Come on, man.
All right, man. With LeBron.
Y'all had this afterwards.
Exactly. All right.
Reminiscing.
Will LeBron stay in Cleveland, coach?
Good question. I think no.
Mm. Ooh.
No.
Lonzo Ball situation creating that maybe we need to have him in L.A.?
Well, I think if you look at LeBron has done everything he can possibly do in his career right now, man. You know what I'm saying? Not just on the court, but off the court. The things he's doing with schools, everything. He's done everything. Won the championships. He's done it. MVP. He's done it. So at this stage of his career, playing the league, 15 years, right? At this stage of his career, he's looking for something bigger and better. He came and put his hometown back on the map. So now at this stage of his career, go to L.A., man. Get in the film. Finish up with that. You know what I mean?
I'm
just saying now. He's a businessman.
Yeah.
He's a businessman now. He got good people that's telling him the right things to do. So go to L.A., man. Finish up your career. Get you one or two more championships, perhaps. You get the right pieces around you.
Right.
And then, you know, get into film, man, and finish your career, man.
Let me ask you a question. And we know Mike is considered the greatest basketball player of all time. Leaning on your expertise, is LeBron challenging that?
Ooh, that's a question. That's a good question. Yes, I would say. Because those were two different eras. Like today's era, like we always talked about, they not as physical. Back then, the guys was very physical. So for today's now, I would say that we can make the comparison that both of those or LeBron, because of everything that he do,
can transcend.
It can transcend, man. You know what I mean? And he's been in the finals how many years? People don't even, I mean, like 7-8 years in a row. Right?
Yeah.
This guy been in the finals.
Yeah.
I don't think Jordan ever did that. Yeah. Did he?
No, he didn't.
No.
Yeah.
He could have taken that sabbatical.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, because Houston was balling.
Yeah.
Man, so, he came back and punked all of them.
Yeah, he did.
He came right back.
But they were older, too.
Yeah, but he admitted himself they couldn't stop a king.
They couldn't have stopped a king.
They couldn't stop a king.
He was still Michael Jordan.
But to your point to LeBron, I'm going to move on real quick because, you know, we got to roll. But do you know if he goes to L.A., and I think I made this point in some archive shows before, that he would have won a championship in three different parts of the United States?
That's crazy. That's how good he is, man. Like, people can say what he want, man.
I mean, in three different time zones is what I'm talking about.
He the best player in the world.
Three different time zones.
I agree.
I went and watched him the other day playing the Hawks. I'm watching close up, so I'm watching his demeanor and everything, how he played the game. Man, he's such a, like he pick his times when to play. It's crazy. Like, he got this natural gift.
To hit another gear.
Yeah, to hit another gear. Like, I never seen anybody. Right. And then with his size, his explosiveness, his power. Yeah. I mean, it's just amazing.
I mean, you're about 2 inches from LeBron right now, though.
When we talk about it, look at him. It's like Karl Malone with Michael Jordan ability.
Yeah.
He's that big.
Yes.
And he can jump and run like Jordan.
Yes.
That's what's crazy.
And he's fast.
His athleticism is crazy. And now
let's keep it real, y'all. We tipping around the Rose Garden. We're tipping around. LeBron James is a better basketball player than Michael Jordan. Point blank. Period. Uh-oh. Michael Jordan was the best competitor that
look
we've
over
ever.
Your shoulder,
I don't care. I don't care. Listen,
look over his shoulder, driving home.
Listen, Michael Jordan was the best competitor that we have ever seen. His will to win was outweighed his skill level on the basketball court, because he would step on the court and he was not letting you beat him, because he had the Kobe Bryant will. Kobe Bryant is a more skillful basketball player than Michael Jordan was. It's their will. But LeBron James is the best basketball player we have ever seen to pick up a round ball.
All right. Does he stay in Cleveland?
No.
Where are you going?
I think he's going to the Lakers.
I think he's leaving, too, but I don't know where it's going.
You got to say something.
I don't know. Hell, he might go to Philly. I don't know.
He's going to Philly now.
He's going somewhere. That boy.
Need to come to Atlanta, man.
Yeah, the joke of the day. IG, he staying in Cleveland.
No. And he, like I told y'all a couple months ago, he's got that Blaze Pizza
in the Staples Center.
Yep.
So it's,
well,
it's,
he also
Lakers
got a Blaze Pizza in Atlanta off the way.
Yeah. Can they
coming to
Claremont?
Claremont.
Yeah.
You got a Blaze in Claremont.
Can they trade Lonzo?
Oh, hey, man, listen.
he
you knew that
play
was coming.
You better be glad I ain't engineering this show. You know I'm learning. I would have muted your mic.
He wants to play with Lonzo, I think.
I think he wants to play with Lonzo,
because
too.
Because
he probably need to learn from LeBron.
Exactly.
But this is the thing. This is the thing now.
He need to learn how to shoot.
Jeez Louise.
There we go. We got to get ready to get out of here. But LeBron got kicked out of the game the other day, and he said it out of the game that he's not getting a lot of calls. Well, LeBron, let me tell you something. They don't call walk on you, so everything evens out at this point. And somebody just said on Facebook Live, you have lost your Jordan's rebate. You don't get no Jordan coupons. All right, man, let's go in the show, man. It's off the chain. Bo Bell, give me your shout outs and just tell America and the listeners what you want them to know about Bo Bell Basketball Academy.
Hey, man, listen, we developing for real. Come see us. And if you got kids, man, 3-4, pros, NBA, it doesn't matter. If you want to get better and add something to your game to maximize your potential, come check us out, man. We got a unique way of training, but I promise you, I promise you it'll be a great opportunity for you to see something different.
Give them your information, social media, phone number, address.
Sure. Telephone number 770-912-4104. Website coachbobel.com. Give us a shout, man. We had Highland Athletic Club, 261 Parkway Drive, Atlanta, Georgia Boulevard. Come see us, man. We can help you. I promise.
Yes, sir. I went down there a couple of weeks ago on a Sunday, and it looked like a machine down there, baby. They was doing their thing. But I want to give a shout out to Bo Bell for coming through. Yo. Give out to my fam over here for coming through with my coach.
The French Connection, French baby. Connection,
you already know.
And bonjour, man.
Bonjour. Bonjour. I want to give a shout out to all of our listeners, baby. That's how we do it, man. Real quick, yeah, shout out.
Shout out to Boogie Ballin', baby.
Shout out to mom and dad. See y'all tomorrow.
Hey, shout out to the wifey. Hey, baby.
All right, you know how we do it. If you don't like, you better learn to love it. Because it's the best thing going today. All right, hey, let's roll.
Boogie, I'm headed home, baby.
They call me coach because I teach you how to ball.
This is your main man, H.O. from Bankhead. R.I.P. Mom, R.I.P. B.C. And if you love the show,
tell a friend.
And if you didn't,
come on, LeBron, go trade for Lonzo.
Leave that man alone.
We out. Peace.